think of us. Good morning. Let's all stand up, please. And let's go to the preaching of God's Word. Let's open our Bibles in the book of John. Book of John. And we will be studying chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. The book of John, please. And shall we read these verses responsibly? I'm going to read verse number 27, and when we reach verse 38, we'll read it all together. John chapter 4, verse number 27, and this is what the Bible tells us. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him out to eat?" "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth altogether. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, once again, I do beg you that you would bless our time together as we're going to study your word. Be glorified, be lifted up, and help us to see your glory this morning in our midst, and continue to use your servant this morning. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. So from our text here in John chapter 4, verse 27 to 38, please allow me to share with you a message entitled, "My Best for the Harvest." We praise the Lord that God included us into His great plan for the world. And I believe with all my heart, brethren, that it is God's desire that in everything we do, we give our best. We need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ gave His best for us, and we need to do the same, even especially in missions. That's why this morning, once again, you know, from our text, we will be reminded of what missions is all about as we give our best for the harvest. What is missions? Let me just remind you that missions is not merely a program or a ministry of the church. It is not simply an effort to enlarge the ranks or the numbers of Christians. Missions is first and foremost the work of declaring the glory of God to all the people of the world. Secondly, missions is also the work. It might be a hard work of reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of rescuing people from spiritual death. And brethren, missions is all about putting aside all fear and resistance, knowing that we cannot stand by and watch people die going to their eternity. Missions is very, very important. That's why the Bible, you know, we believe that, you know, the heartbeat of God is missions. God put His heart to missions, and we are the results of missions. And that's why we're going to see this morning, "My Best for the Harvest." And you know the background of our story, You know it because you are Baptist. Amen? Are you happy this morning? Please help my nervousness. You are Baptist, and you know, sometimes we have been labeled as, you know, Bible dictionaries. Maybe especially because you are members of Heritage. And you know the background of the story. Right here in our text, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ witnessed to a woman whose life had been marked by a series of bad relationships and was no doubt the shameful subject of much gossip in her community. But you see, the good news was that once the woman received forgiveness from the Lord, it was not long before her entire community was coming to see the man who could save the vilest of sinners. We praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ can save. We praise God, this is only our message. And our message will never change. Jesus alone can save. Muhammad cannot save people. Other religious founders cannot save people. There is only one who could save people, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in a difficult country like Bangladesh, you see, there is only one message we're going to tell to the people, that Jesus saves. And it will never change. You see, as the entire city came to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ used that opportunity to educate his people about the importance of the Great Commission. And not only to educate, but to redirect their attention about the importance of preaching the gospel to the fields with the word or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My best for the harvest. Have you given your best for the Lord? Have you given your best for the harvest? If you want to give your best for harvest, if you want to dismantle the walls so that more opportunities will be open for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to give our best. And if you want to give your best and my best, there are three things we're going to see. Let me give you three things. If you want to give your best for the harvest, first of all, we need to develop an appetite for the Lord's will. You need to have an appetite for the Lord's will. Meaning to say, we need to be hungry. We need to be thirsty of the will of God. You see, in our text, as you know it, while the wonderful Savior, it's very, very interesting. While the wonderful Savior was winning the woman at the well, the 12 Baptist disciples went somewhere. Maybe they went to the mall to find some food. You know, I mentioned a while ago about the Ilocano Baptist, and I said that they are not stingy. I said that they are stingy. No, they are not. They are just thrifty. You see, but these, you know, 12 disciples went somewhere to find some food. They are just typical, again, Ilocano Baptist members. That while the pastor is busy giving tracts, while the pastor is busy doing soul winning, the Baptist members in the Philippines would go to the sari-sari store and eat. You see, that's what happened here. They went somewhere to find some food, and when they returned, they did not know what had happened, and they said, in verse 31, they said, "Master, eat." But you see, in our text, Lord Jesus Christ was less concerned about his stomach, and he was more concerned about the souls of men. And that's why he said in verse number 32, he said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And so the 12 Baptist disciples wondered who gave their master food. And so the Lord Jesus Christ explained, and he said in verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Therefore, if you want to give your best for the harvest. If you want to give your all for the master and for the master of the harvest, the first thing you need to have is that you need to have the craving and the hunger for the will of God to be done in your life. An appetite for the Lord's will. And when I say an appetite for the Lord's will, let me give you two sub-points. First of all, when we say an appetite for the Lord's will, it simply means being satisfied to follow God's will. Being satisfied. Let me ask you a question, church. What satisfies your soul? What satisfies your soul? What satisfies your life? Where do you find satisfaction in life? Let me just remind you that there is nothing under the sun that could satisfy your soul. True satisfaction, ladies and gentlemen, is only found obeying the will of Him that is above the sun. Obeying the will of God. Let's go back to our text in verse number 34. Can you see what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, "My," what's the word? "Meat." You see, the word meat here simply means food in general. But the word meat here also speaks about nourishment and also speaks about sustenance. And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "My meat," He was simply saying, "My nourishment, my sustenance is no other than doing the will of Him that sent me." And the lesson is very clear, brethren. If there would be anything that satisfies and nourishes our lives and the churches of the Lord, it would always be obeying the will of God. Unfortunately, there are many Christians today. There are so many Baptist churches today who are not really happy, who are not really satisfied. So many Christians today who are really spiritually malnourished and sick because they failed to follow God's will upon their lives. And likewise, there are so many Baptist churches today who are spiritually abnormal. In fact, I believe that many Baptist churches today exist to cease. You see, or cease to exist, I should say, to be a New Testament church because they are not involved in missions. You see, it doesn't matter if you gain the whole riches of the world. It doesn't matter if you have, the education that the world can offer to you. If you are not following the will of God, you are spiritually unhealthy. You want to have satisfaction in life. You want to have nourishment in your life. You want to be strong. You need to follow the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My meat, my nourishment." And there is no substitute of that nourishment. Only finding it and doing the will of God. He said, that's why I believe that it doesn't matter if a church has a big property. It's very, very, this is a problem in the Philippines. It doesn't matter if a church has a gorgeous building, having an air-conditioned building. Praise the Lord for this building. It's an air-conditioned building. In Bangladesh, we also have air continuous. But it's not air-conditioning building. It's air continuous. You open the window and the wind will come. Air continuous. We praise the Lord for these facilities. But you see, if a church does not have a missions program, the church ceases to exist as a New Testament Baptist church. And we praise the Lord for this church. Of course, there's nothing wrong about having the riches of the world. There's nothing wrong about you being a millionaire. How many of you would like to be a millionaire? I would volunteer myself to be a candidate. There's nothing wrong about, having the money. There's nothing wrong about having the building. But we need to understand the Lord teaches us that true fulfillment comes from obeying the will of God. Be involved in missions. That's what I mean when I said an appetite for the Lord's will. You see, not only that, When we say an appetite for the Lord's will, it's not only about the satisfaction that we got from following God's will. Secondly, when we say an appetite for the Lord's will, we are also talking about seeking to fulfill God's will. Seeking to fulfill God's will. Let's go back to verse number 34. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish." To finish His work. You see, the word finish in original language simply means to fulfill. It simply means to complete. And brethren, let me just remind you that the work of missions has not been completed yet. Not yet. Now you may say, "Oh, Brother June, until when are we supposed to be involved in missions?" Let me give you a simple answer. Until when? Until you die. Until I die. Or until the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back for the second time. As the Lord Jesus Christ tarries His coming, you see, the Bible is telling us that we need to be praying, we need to be paying, we need to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the unsaved world, because the work has not been completed yet. Another problem that I see to many Christians is this. The problem is not really the lack of desire to do the will of God, but the problem is the lack of dedication. It's not the desire, actually, but it is the dedication that is the problem. It is not the craving, but it is the commitment to finish the work of God. And we are familiar with Christians and churches who initially seem interested in obeying God, following His will and missions, but somewhere they got hindered, they got sidetracked and distracted and failed to fill the Lord's command for missions. That's why commitments to faith promise offerings many times in many churches are not being fulfilled. Why? Because we don't have the guts to fulfill the work of God. Do you remember the example of the church at Corinth? That they promised to support Apostle Paul, but they failed it. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 11, Apostle Paul said, "Encourage them," and said, "perform the doing of it." Because he said, the work has not been completed yet. You know, in the Philippines, there are churches who would only support you for 2 or 3 years, and afterwards, they're going to cut your support. And the missionary is, having a problem. Because while he is still learning the language, the support is gone. Well, the missionary is still, you see, on the foundational stage. The work still on the foundational stage, the support is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is telling us that we need to have the passion and we need to have the hunger to finish the work of God. The Lord Jesus Christ did not just want to start the race. He wanted to finish it. Let me challenge you this morning, brethren. Let us keep on sending and supporting missionaries all around the world until the work is finally completed. Amen? That's having an appetite for the Lord's will. I'll share with you an experience I had when I was deputizing the Philippines. I went to a very, very big church. And the pastor said, "Brother June, we'll be praying for you. And we will be supporting you if we are done building our building." They have done building their building, but still no support, because they have another projects again. My point is this. There's nothing wrong about buildings. There's nothing wrong about building buildings. But we need to remember that God did not command us to build buildings, but God commanded us to build people. God commanded you to build people. God commanded you to reach out the world. And the work has not been completed yet. We need to have the hunger. We need to have the appetite. Because that appetite of doing the will of God will give you satisfaction and will help you to seek to fulfill the work of God until it is finally completed. Number 2, if you want to give your best for the harvest, develop an appetite for the Lord's will. Secondly, brother, can you just... Secondly, not only to have an appetite, but we need to develop an alertness to the lost world. We need to develop an awareness, an alertness to the lost world. Brethren, there is a lost world out there. Don't you ever forget that. Let's not wear spiritual blinders and we cannot see the people around us. There is a lost world out there. Brethren, don't let the word chloroform your mind. Don't let the spirit of the word blind you that you cannot see the need around us. There is a need around us. There is a lost world around us. You see, the devil sometimes, or many times, would fill our minds with amusement. Muse meaning think, and the prefix A means not to think. And the devil is filling our minds with amusement that we cannot think about the things of God. There is a lost word out there that we need to reach out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in our text, can you imagine the entire village of people heading out to the Lord Jesus Christ? After the woman testified about the Lord Jesus Christ, can you imagine how excited the community coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? They want to meet the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And can you imagine the people are rushing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took that opportunity to rearrange the minds of the disciples and talk to them about the lost world. And then he gave an analogy of what they were seeing. Go back to verse number 35. Let's see what the Bible is telling us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, as the people rushing down to him, he said, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then come at harvest." He said, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I could see here in verse number 35 that the Lord Jesus Christ was using an agricultural picture to teach his disciples about the lost world. And when he talks about the lost world, he talked to them as field to be harvested for his kingdom. There is a lost world, and we need to be alert about that. Let me give you two things. First of all, we need to be alerted to the reality of the harvest. The reality of the harvest. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the meat of doing the will of God, the 12 disciples did not understand that. They did not understand the word meat. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have a meat," and they were thinking about hamburgers and French fries. They were thinking about laksa and sugarcane juice. They did not understand that, but the Lord was so patient. Praise God, He is patient. And he continued to educate them. And I believe that they did not understand about the lost world. And he used an agricultural term so that they would understand. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the harvest, he was talking about that the harvest was the men, the women, the children, families who needed to hear the gospel. That is the reality. Welcome to the real world. There is a harvest out there. 7.7 billion people in the world today. 7.7 billion. 165 million is in the small country of Bangladesh. How many do you have here in Singapore? 4 million? 5 or 6 million in a small country, huge people. There is a huge harvest. You see, God is telling us Would you open your spiritual eyes? Would you let the Spirit of God? That's why we have missions, so that we will be recharged. That we're going to open our spiritual eyes to the reality there is a lost world out there. 7.7 billion people in the world. You see, as the world is more concerned about saving its wildlife and natural resources, we ought to be concerned about the perishing souls of men. What concerns your life? Oh, I need to have a bigger financial portfolio. I need to have this kind of education. Those are just temporary things. The reality is the souls of men and the glory of God. Can you imagine 7.7 billion people in the world? So many people have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not gotten the opportunity to glorify the God who created them. That's why in Psalm 96, the psalmist was talking about there, about, you know, the world that we need to reach out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to remember this, that our world is not getting better, it's getting worse. Our world is not even evolving, but it is devolving. We need to do something. Be alert with the reality of the harvest. Hey, listen. Enter to the reality. And then secondly, when we say, be alert to the lost word, not only the reality, but be alert to the readiness. The reality and the readiness of the harvest. Go back to verse number 35. The Lord Jesus Christ said, lift up your eyes. You've been looking to different places. Hey, where is your spiritual eyesight, Christians? It's somewhere. He said, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. I want you to notice the word white. I am a rice farmer. I have never seen wheat. I do not know. But if you are a rice farmer, you know when to reap, you know, the rice. Don't wait for the rice to turn into white, because it would be overdue. It's very, very, very dangerous. You know, you just touch the rice stalk and, you know, the grain would fall if it's white. I don't know about the wheat. You reap the rice when it's color yellow or golden. But you see here, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is already white. So the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing to the anticipating faces of the Samaritans, and he said, you see, would you consider the harvest? Look, the harvest is ready to be taken if you're ready to take it. You see, brethren, I believe this, the issue, the problem is not the harvest. The problem is not that the souls are not ready. The problem is not the souls. The problem is the soul winners. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the reapers. Where are the reapers today? Are you saved? Hello?
Yeah.
You are a reaper of God. But where are the reapers? Have you seen the reapers of the Lord? Where are they? Sad to say that many of the Lord's reapers have sojourned to the world and have not come back yet. Sad to say that many of the reapers of the Lord are spiritually, you know, sleeping when the world is on fire. Where are the reapers? I'm talking you members of this church. If you claim that you are a saved person, you are a reaper of God, have you reaped a soul to the Lord? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you won soul for the Lord? When was the last time? You live in a very good country. You are not really in danger. I believe so. But when was the last time you really preached the word of God and won somebody to the Lord? When was the last time? Where are the rivers? Do you have burden even signing the commitment cards? The Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, people are dying out there. Do something about it. Because God is not using any other creature but you, the local church. That's the reason why, you know, in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, the Lord Jesus Christ acquainted his disciple and said, the harvest truly is great, but he said, the laborers are few. The laborers are few. This has been the problem during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and still the problem of our time, laborers are few. Have you seen the rivers? Let me tell you this, I'm a rice farmer. I know everything about farming rice. I know the best time of planting and harvesting in the Philippines. But let me tell you this, the harvest does not wait for us. Did you get that? The harvest does not wait for us. When it is time to bring in the crops, we either reap them or we're going to lose them. My challenge is, would you enter into the field today and gather harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ? You need to have the appetite. You need to be alert of the reality and the readiness of the lost world. Would you volunteer yourself today? Would you give your best in giving your faith promise this year? And you're going to say, Lord, use me. I want to reap more souls today. Because that is the call of the day. Go ye into all the world. That's a military word. Go. That's a military word. Go into all the world today. Do you remember John chapter 9, verse number 4? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I must work. You see, the word that is must is a very, very, very heavy word. I must. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I do not have any recourse. I must work the works of him that sent me. And he said, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Would you enter into the field and gather souls while we have the opportunity? Would you? We must do it as soon as possible because the fields are white. Been over you. Where are the reapers? They're still sleeping. That's the reason why the gospel of the Lord has been slowed down these days, because there are not so many reapers in the field. Would you consider coming to Bangladesh? Would you consider winning the Muslims to the Lord? I'm so scared. You see, if God will lead you to a song, don't be scared. We are still alive. We praise the Lord, we are still alive. Giving my best for the harvest. I need to have the appetite. I need to be alert. And then last, we're going to see, we need to develop an appreciation for the lasting work. For the lasting work. The work of missions is a lasting work. By the way, if you want to be engaged in a sure investment, invest your resources and your time into the Lord's work. The greatest investment opportunities we do have in this world is no other than in the business of the Lord. Last month I went back to the Philippines for a short visit, and I have heard many Christians say, oh, we have engaged in this, you know, networking company, we gave our resources, you know, the members even gave the fund of the church to a networking company, and then they are, you know, being cheated because that was a scam. Let me tell you, this is the greatest investment you can give your resources into is into the work of God. It's lasting. carrying on this analogy of the field and the harvest, let's go back to verse number 36, please. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages." We like that. There would always be compensation. "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." God is going to bless you not only in this world, but even in the world to come. If you will be involved in missions unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There is joy in, you know, bringing the sheaves. There is joy in winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 37 he said, "And herein is that saying to resent, one soweth and another reapeth." We see here the lasting work of the Lord. With these two verses, the Lord reminded his man of the true nature of the mission works. And let me give you two things that we need to appreciate. First of all, we need to appreciate the process of missions. Appreciate the process of missions. In verse 36, in verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ explained that the process of mission is no other than the process, the work of sowing and reaping. That's the principle, sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you have sown. No planting, no harvesting. That is the process of missions. You see, as you take the gospel seed and preach it, the Lord Jesus Christ will work and somebody will be saved. And that person will be discipled. And then we're going to assimilate him into the local church. That is the process. The process is sowing and reaping. By the way, our responsibility is just to plant the seed. Plant the seed. Fruits and harvest is the Lord's responsibility. Bangladesh is a difficult, different mission field, but God is saving people there. Did you know that every time we go out, and we go out almost every day, we put our lives into danger? Well, maybe... Men of you, I will not tell that. We put ourselves into danger. You see, when we give gospel tracts, we need to plan a route. For example, we're going to start on this point, and we're going to that point, and so we're going to give gospel tract, and when we reach that point, we're not going back. Because many times when we went back, people harassed us. Somebody, we went to somewhere and then give gospel tracts, and then all of a sudden there was a group of young people, very tall, with what do you call that? And they ripped, you know, those, torn away those gospel tracts, and they forced us to leave the place. It's very, very dangerous. But we praise the Lord because, you know, He's doing something. God gave us lately a Bible study somewhere in the village. We go there for Bible study in a remote village, 7:30, we will end 9:30. Very remote. You have to ride the rickshaw. Bible study. Well, praise the Lord, God gave us around 30 professions of faith in that Bible study. 30. We are starting a new work, and we give gospel tracts, and somebody called. Very tall Muslim man. He was a former soldier. He said, "I want to know more about Jesus Christ. Can I come?" And he came, and we shared him the gospel, and he got saved. Am I scared to win souls to Muslim communities? Am I scared? Oh, you bet I'm scared. Am I afraid? Yes, I am afraid. I'm afraid. Sometimes when I go out, I think about my wife, I think about my family. When I go out. Because the possibility is that I cannot come back. But you see, but the process of mission is we need to plant. If we're not going to sow the seed, nothing will happen. But praise the Lord, we're still alive today and we are with you this morning. Because God can take good care of His reapers. You just need to have the faith to step in and be in the mission field. Do your part. There is no harvest if there is no sowing of the seed of the gospel. Somebody told me, oh, in Bangladesh, you do not need to go out. You just need to have a beautiful building and people will come and they will be saved. And I don't believe that. Somebody said the gospel is not something we come to church to hear. It is something we go from church to tell. We are to go where the harvest is. We are to go where the fish are. We cannot put a signboard outside our building that says, if you want to get saved, inquire inside. We cannot do that. If you want to get saved, just inquire inside. We cannot do that. The Bible tells us in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. There is no harvest if there is no sowing of the seed of the gospel. Appreciate that, please. And then lastly, we're going to appreciate the partnership of missions. Look again at verse 37. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and herein that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. The work of missions is not something that one person or one church can accomplish alone. The work of missions is accomplished through partnership. You remember that the command of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, for the local church, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But literally and physically, not everybody can go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we can. We can be part of it by partnering with missionaries around the world. And from the bottom of my heart, I would like to say thank you very much. We lost support in the Philippines. Some churches drop us down because we've been there for 12 years. They said, it's not enough. It's enough. We'll take another missionary as well. I'm starting a new work. But thank you, church. You've been faithful. Thank you for the partnership. And thank you for trusting this little fellow, this little brother of yours. I'm not promising anything to you, but I just appreciate the partnership that we have. Thank you for it. Do you believe this book? Do you believe that this book does not have any equal at all? Do you believe that this book is the greatest, the paramount need of the world? Do you believe that Baptist Church is a true church? Believe that? And keep on sending missionaries around the world. Because nothing can change them. This book can change them. We need to do it. God gave us the golden opportunity. I have heard that Arab countries had set aside national budget for the propagation of Islam entire the world. That's why even in the Philippines, the Muslim groups in the Philippines, you know, they have the goal to make Philippines an Islamic country per se, they say, again. They have budget propagating their book. Do you have budget for the Lord? Do you have budget for this book? Let's do something. Let's give our best for the master. Jesus Christ gave His best for you. Young people, you listen to me. If we die, who will take our place? Who? If your pastor will be gone, who will take his place? Would you give your best for the harvest? Don't let this missions conference be just another missions conference. Let God talk to your heart. Prick change your heart. Have an appetite for the Lord's will. Have an alertness for the lost world. And appreciation for the lasting work. And that will start this morning at the altar of this place. That will start not tomorrow. It will start. It must start. Your involvement must start this morning. Let's pray.